When Jesus drew near Jerusalem, seeing the city, he wept over it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Recently at St. Gertrude's, we had the opportunity where we had several priests come and visit us there. And throughout the few days that they were with us, at a certain point, it came to be that I was showing them some of the pictures from my own ordination. And in one of the pictures, it was me giving my first blessing to an infirm elderly lady at the church. And they asked who this woman was. And it caused me to smile, remembering this wonderful woman. Her name was Rose. She had never married. And she had been a family doctor for her whole life. But it made me smile for a few different reasons. Outside of the obvious that she was a very sweet person. But it made me smile because of two things. One, in the picture, it reminded me of a regular reality with Rose, that she had on her lap there a box of tissues, and that every Mass she attended, she would begin to cry because she loved the Mass so much. And so whenever she came to the church, one of us would stand by ready with a box of tissues, and we'd just give her the whole entire box. But the other reason was the reason for the tears. You see, I had met Rose when I was just 19 years old. And it was a meeting of just pure providence and happenstance that she and I had begun talking at a certain point after bumping into each other. And in talking, she had asked about where I had gone to church, and I explained to her that I went to a mission at the time in Massachusetts, and that I attended the Latin Mass. At this, she immediately became very excited and asked me if it would be all right if she came along with me and my friends and attended. She didn't think that there were any more Latin Masses around anywhere to be able to go to. And so, of course, I told her she could come and that we'd be delighted to have her at the mission. But the only problem being that she, being elderly at this point in time, she didn't drive any longer and she didn't really have anybody to drive her. And so I agreed that the next Sunday morning I would go to her house, I would pick her up, and I'd take her to Mass with me. When I arrived early Sunday morning to pick Rose up, she got into my car, and as we drove, she told me a little bit of her story. She grew up very faithful her whole life long from a big family, and when it came to the 1960s and the Mass was changed, she immediately knew something was wrong. She was a very intelligent woman. She spent her life in study, but it was always in study of medicine. She had never really focused on studying the aspects of theology or anything like that, because why would she? She was just a regular parishioner, and the church took care of all of those things. But being very pious and holy, she knew right away, recognized right away, that something was seriously wrong, and that she had developed immediately a hatred for this new Mass that they had introduced to her. But yet, week after week, that's all she was given. And she couldn't find anywhere around her that offered the old Mass any longer. And her heart was so broken over the changes that she began to beg God and pray that she would be able to return to the Latin Mass again. Day after day, she prayed, and realizing that this was a big intention for her to ask for, she added sacrifice to her prayer. That once she began to pray, she decided that she would forgo the comfort of her bed and sleep on the ground. For 35 years, this woman prayed, cried, and slept on the ground every single night in hopes that one day she would be able to see the true Mass again. And God answered that prayer in the form of a goofy 19-year-old kid picking her up at her house one morning. And so every Mass she attended from that day forward, it would cause her to weep because she had known truly what she had lost, and she had known truly what she had rediscovered. She wept tears no longer of sorrow, but now of joy, just at the sight of the sacrifice of the Mass. And in that picture, she held on her lap those tissues, and she wept again, because that young boy whom our Lord had used to bring her to her first Mass again had now been raised to the priesthood to offer that Mass himself. It's easy for us, in going about our daily business, to forget just what a true blessing and a treasure we have in every sacrifice of the Mass that we are able to attend. That the world around us doesn't realize just how special this little church is in the downtown of Milwaukee, in a poor neighborhood. That it doesn't realize that all of the beautiful cathedrals that surround us are truly empty inside. That the world doesn't seem to realize what has been lost all over. That like our Lord who wept over the temple, the loss of the sacrifice from all the churches throughout our land is something truly worth weeping over. Yet we are here because God has blessed each and every one of us. He has seen something in our heart that he has determined is worthy and deserving of finding him because we, to some degree, have sought after him. And some of you remember that very feeling of losing what was so special to you for which you had grown up with, the Mass. And many of us, well, we know the joy of having at least discovered it at some point in our lives. And certainly all of you know that you have to at times sacrifice, and you have, and you do, in order to be able to come regularly to the true sacrifice of the altar. And so that is what I give the story for. It helps for us to be able to realize truly how fortunate and blessed we are by our Almighty God. It is a reminder for us to have a real gratitude for the great gifts of heaven that he has given to us. It is an encouragement for us to continue in offering sacrifices, in giving of ourselves, and our time, and our efforts, and our money to facilitate and ensure that that Mass is able to continue. And it is also an illustration for us of the efficacy of prayer and sacrifice to give us that fortitude and hope, that all-important virtue, and remind us that God really does hear every single prayer, that he really does pay attention to every little sacrifice, that nothing that we whisper, not even the simple raising of our hearts and minds, is ignored by him. Each and every one of those things he pays attention to, and that he gives its own special focus, and that he remembers and adds up and ensures that they are heard. Yet it is easy for us to forget that at times, because sometimes things seem so dire or hopeless or from a natural plane impossible. And so we struggle with remembering that with God nothing is impossible, and that every good thing comes down from above, and that every good intention that we pray for is not only desired by us, but it is desired by our Lord too. Yet if at every whisper God immediately granted what we wanted and immediately gave us what we asked for, we would be like spoiled children, and we would forget exactly how great the things that we already have are. We become like the Jews in the desert, who saw manna rain down from heaven every single day and quail fall at their feet whenever that was necessary. And all they could do was long for the honey pots and cucumbers of Egypt. No, when we want and desire something truly good and seek after something that is truly necessary, our Lord wants us to be serious about it and realize just how great His intercession and action is on our behalf to grant our prayers at times. And so He asks us to persevere. He asks us to trust in Him. He asks us to not waver in our faith. He will hear our prayers. He will grant our desires. And nothing is impossible with Him. And in those moments, when it seems that according to all natural means, it is impossible, and it may be a cause for us to really begin to weep, it is then that our Lord can come and turn our tears of grief into joy and allow us to really see His infinite goodness. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.